Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Amen. Well, as you can see, the title of today's sermon is Identifying Mature Christians. Yes, it's going to be that kind of morning. Hallelujah. Identifying mature Christians. Listen, this is going to be absolutely essential. If you are serious about your walk with God, you need to be able to recognize who you're working with and who's around you and all that other wonderful stuff, because the Bible says the sheep and the goats grow together. The wheat and the tares grow together. If you've ever seen a wheat and a tare side by side, you would not be able to identify them. But if you eat the grain of wheat, it's actually okay. Some of you can't have it because of gluten and all that nonsense, right? Praise God. But if you ate it, it's not going to harm you. But if you ate a grain of the tare, it is toxic and poisonous and can kill you. And this is important, because if we're growing next to one another and you're able to identify those that are not actually bona fide, spirit-filled, authentic disciples, followers of Christ, then you have to maintain your heart and identity with Christ and pray for your brother, right? You want to encourage, build up, edify. You want to help your brother out, but you want to preserve your heart to not be engaged in certain things that are not becoming of a child of God. Amen. That's a precursor to where we're headed. Amen. We're going to read this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to read the first 11 verses, 1 through 11. Be not afraid. But I'm sorry, I don't have no sugar, so I can't put no sugar on this one. Hallelujah. But it'll go down sweet, God willing. 1 Peter 4, verses 1 through 11. If you have it, say amen. Praise the living God. The word of the Lord says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. That means you no longer are yourself. Hallelujah. You're no longer belonging to yourself. You belong to God. Amen? For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Maybe I'm the only one. Hallelujah. Listen, you start serving God, you're going to have some haters. Praise God. They're going to be around and say, who does he think he is? You're going to get all that. Praise God. Get ready. Strap in. Verse 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh. According to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. But the end of all things is at hand. I don't know if you're hearing that. Praise God. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Turn to your neighbor and say, get it together. Hallelujah. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may take your seats this morning in the presence of the living God. Amen. There is no denying that in the body of Christ, there are many 30-year-old, 40-year-old, and even 50-year-old babies. Infants, infantile in their understanding, infantile in their knowledge of the Word of God, infantile in their prayer life, infantile in their worship, infantile in their evangelism, and so on and so on. There are so many converts in the body of Christ and so few disciples. You've heard me say this before. Converts are introduced, disciples reproduce. I got a new one for you. Converts remain infantile and disciples help to reconcile. Hallelujah. That's a new one for you. That one's free. Praise God. Paul had to deal with spiritual babies at the church in Corinth. Some time ago, I preached a message called the Corinthian Catastrophe. Because what took place in the Corinthian church is Paul gave them the word. He started training them and they started to grow. And then he went on a trip for a couple of years. And when he came back, they were still having church. But they were having orgies and parties and drinking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff while maintaining to be a disciple of God. And Paul, listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with the milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Let me tell you something. Carnality and those things mentioned is a very prime, visible representation of someone who is not sold out to Jesus Christ. It's a huge sign of ungodliness and immaturity. You know, when you think of an infant, infancy. You could recognize infants right away by in the natural. You could see that they're little children, they're small, they're little people, and they're crying all the time. Whenever they want something, they may not be able to communicate it effectively, so they learn pretty quick that if you cry, you get what you want. And sometimes mommy and daddy, just here, take the toy, here, have this candy, here, have this cake, whatever, just to keep you silent. So kids learn really quick that if you cry enough, you get what you want. Well, how about that in the spirit? I'm going to give you three quick points to identify spiritual infancy in those that claim to be disciples and followers of God. Number one, a spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than service. New babies, let's keep it real. They need attention, right? Spiritual babes in Christ, they need attention, pampering, milk and bottles and clothing and all that. And a lot of times we lose sleep because they require so much of our attention that we almost feel like a slave to the baby. New parents will get that one. Hallelujah. It's funny because a new parent, at first, if I call it the bubble, the pacifier, if the bubble falls on the floor, they run into the sink and they wash it and bring it back to the baby. And then the baby spits it out, it falls on the floor, they run to the sink. But after about a month of that, they just go, here, take it. You know, it starts to get to be challenging. Because you're like, my Lord, you know, it's so much attention required. Some of you are laughing because you've been there. And your wife might say, honey, go rinse this out. Yeah, all right. There you go. Praise God. It's been so long. AJ's, what, 26 now? Praise God. It's over. It's a wrap. Now I get to spoil my grandbabies. Praise God. But babies need the attention. They will cry and they will whine and everything until they get what they want. And the same is true in many cases for baby Christians. These are the ones that get upset about the very smallest things. Every little thing bothers them and they cry, wah, wah, I need a wambulance. Somebody help me out. But what I have found to be true is that oftentimes spiritual children, spiritual babes in Christ, whether they are new believers or whether they've been serving the Lord for 30 years and think they got it all together, but they still behave like a little baby. One thing is they're oftentimes ticking time bombs ready to explode if they don't get their way. And they learn really quick that at church, they can be extra nice and sweet and special. They can learn the church lingo, learn to wear church clothing, wear all the church goods. But at home, they can be explosive and hostile. At church, they are the ideal, but at home, they're impossible. At church, they're always praising, raising holy hands, but at home, they're always pouting and melodramatic. At church, they may seem very cheerful, but at home, grouchy and selfish. At church, very spiritual, but at home, carnal and fleshly. You have to understand that we can't be one way at the house and another way in the church. We're either all in or not. Amen. Number two, the second point, the infant, the spiritual infant, is a receiver and not a giver. This is a very tall tale sign right here. They are a consumer and not a contributor. The infant, the spiritual infant, is only concerned with what's in this for me. What am I going to get out of this? How can I be blessed? They will fuss and fight over their rights. That should be for me. That should be my ministry. I should walk in that office. I should lead that prayer. I should be the one. Why do you have this one and that one? You know, spiritual infancy. The spiritual infant is concerned with argument rather than action. The spiritual infant's preoccupation is oftentimes divisions, jealousy, coveting, even strife. Sometimes strife could be something that is not even seen until it's too late. Have you ever watched children fight? You ever watched two kids fight over a toy? My wife and I, we used to have a remedy. We would say, listen, if you pick up a toy, then that's your toy to play with. But once you put it down, you've lost all rights to that toy. If you put it down on the floor, you can't cry when your brother picks it up and starts playing with it. You've lost your right. You forfeit your right. As long as, and the kids would be with like five toys holding it. Like, they're like, I know if I put this down, you know, that's it. It's a wrap. And they're dragging toys everywhere. But they grumble and they, most of the time, they say, mine, mine, mine. It's easier to grumble than to go. And oftentimes the spiritual infant has a complaining spirit because it's easier to argue rather than act. Infants remain fleshly. There's no surrender, no real surrender to the sanctification process. Number three, the spiritual infant is always going to look to people rather than to the Creator. They're going to go to the leaders. They're going to go to the pastor. They're going to go to other prayer warriors. They're going to go to intercessors. I need prayer. Could you anoint my child? I need this. They're always going to go to others instead of going to the Lord themselves. And we see this in the Corinthian church. The Corinthians, they chose sides. You'd hear say some would say, I am of Paul. And others will say, I am of Apollos. Right there is division. It's the essence of division in the ranks. A spiritual infant continues to look up to human resources and not Christ's resources. They're usually codependent. The infant oftentimes will drive numerous miles to hear a singer or a preacher or get some program in their spirit, or they will pay money for a prophetic word. I've heard of people paying 10 grand to fly out to California to go see a traveling prophet. And I'm like, dude, you could get that for free right in here. Praise God, just pick up the word. Glory to God. A spiritual infant, here's going to be a real tough one to swallow, but it's the truth. They can't just seem to go or won't go to an evening service, to a prayer meeting. They can get to all other events. They could go to the movies. They could go bowling. They could go camping. They could go to Great Adventure. They could get up at 3 in the morning to go to the airport. They don't have no problem. But when it comes to church, oh, Lord, the battle of Sunday mornings, the battle of Wednesday nights, the battle of Friday, the battle of one prayer meeting a month, that one day, oh, my God, I can't make it. I've worked so hard this week. I owe it to myself. I don't even have gas in the car. You know, my dog is sick. You know, I got to go out and buy puppy chow because if not, he's going to be hungry. All kinds of stuff comes up so you don't have to be a part of the body. And don't even get me started on tithes and offerings. Praise God. I bind you, Satan. Get thee behind me. That pastor, all he wants is my money. I can't stand going to church. All they want is money. No, keep your money. Praise God. Keep it. I'd rather live on 90% of blessed money than 100% of cursed money. But that's just me. Praise God. You'll discover that when you really surrender to God, you'll learn about godly finances. And then you'll understand it's not about the church asking for money. Praise God. The church, let me say something. I got to go there. Praise God. You remember that conversation Peter had with Jesus? Said, is it right that I should pay taxes and I got to pay all my bills? He said, yeah, absolutely it's right. And he goes, well, you know, I don't understand. He goes, I tell you what, go to the river. Now, he's talking to a fisherman. He says, go cast your net and go fish. And the very first fish that you pull out of the water, you're going to find a drachma coin, a golden coin. He goes, take that coin and pay your taxes and then pay mine too. And before, he said, whose face is on the coin? I got to bring that in too. Caesar. He goes, well, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. So it's not yours anyway. But he says, just so that you know, go fish. And he says, and take this. So isn't it something that Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of man. That means when you fish, the money comes in because the fish is the one who brings in the money to the house. The church doesn't have a 9-to-5 job. It's completely, completely reliant on the giving of its people that are touched by the Spirit of God, that are walking and operating in their faith and trusting God. And money is not their Lord. Because money, my son taught me this one, money can be a cruel master, but it could be a wonderful servant. And for those that are having money lord over them, they're always broke, they're always hurting, they don't want to share, it's hoarding. It's like Daffy Duck in the clam when he holds the pearl. Mine, mine, it's all mine. I'm spiritually set. I'm financially secure, and the clam is closing up on him. Don't even realize he's about to die inside a clam. You see, when you hoard, you clog up the well. You ever throw a rock in a puddle or in a pond that has no outlet or inlet, and you throw it in, it smells, right? But where there's a river, a flow, it cleans all the impurities. It comes in this hand, goes out that hand. Comes in this hand, goes. The flow stays open. But this is not a message on tithing and offering. I just had to throw that in there. Praise God. Spiritual infants, they refuse to pick up the word of God for themselves. Spiritual infants, they steadily rely on their source instead of their Savior. Church, I got to tell you the truth. It is time to get past these little behaviors of ours. It's time for us all to grow up and to mature. We cannot continue to live like children, unnatural. You see, there's nothing worse than seeing a Christian who isn't acting like a Christian. A carnal Christian oftentimes is just shaming the name of Christ. If we are servants of the Lord, then we've got to be all in. There's no other way. So many of us, and I've done it so many times, the seesaw. Today I'm in, tomorrow I'm out. Today I'm in, tomorrow I'm out. Today I feel good, tomorrow I don't feel good. It's the seesaw of Christianity, or the fence straddling. And those days got to be over for us. We can't continue to do that. And the sooner you get off the seesaw, the sooner you get off the fence, the happier, the more successful, the more joyful, the more peaceful you will be, because now you have found your place in the kingdom. The body of Christ in many ways today is divided. It's unspiritual, unfruitful, unyielded, and there's so much division in the body of Christ, it's not even funny. You know this when you see the Korean church, the Spanish church, the English church, the black church, the white church, the Chinese church. When are we going to be the church? When, like, praise God, in this house, this is wonderful. I see every nation, tribe, and tongue. I see every shade here. And this is how it's supposed to be. But God is expecting us to become one in the spirit, to become part of the body together, and stop pointing fingers and just live for Christ. There's not much time left. But there are so many churches that are not different than the church of Corinth. They're not disciplined. They're unruly. And they live very carnally. Carnal Christianity. That means fleshly living. Listen, I'm not saying it. The word said it. Praise God. But what is the effect of carnal living? Here's the effect. It's a perpetual state of infancy and complaining, and even accusation. And there are countless of babes in the church today that refuse to grow up. I call them Toys R Us Christians. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. Or Peter Pan, right? Never, Neverland. They want to be Peter Pan, remain young forever. Listen, that's in fairyland, fairy tale land. It's not in the real world. We have to grow. God has directed me to teach his people, and we've begun a class on Wednesday nights of kingdom living for the family. God is trying to get his people back into proper spiritual alignment and proper spiritual divine order. Maturity has to start at home. And I'm going to say this, it's got to start with the husband. One, two, three. Yes. Praise God. There goes my brothers. It's got to start with you, men. You want to see your wife change? You change. You want to see your wife submit to you? You submit to Jesus. You want to see change in your house? You change, and she'll change. You want her to come under your wing? You come under God's wing. She'll come under your wing. It all starts with the man. You want your house to have vision? Then you go before the Lord. God will grant you the vision, and then you implement and carry out the vision. And your wife, once you share the vision, she will forever remind you of the vision. Your wife is the helper, but the only thing is, she's going to remind you when you don't want to hear it. And she ain't nagging, she's prophesying. She's saying, didn't you tell me that God told you to do this? Didn't you share this? I'm only reminding you of what you put into my spirit. You told me that God said you were going to do X, Y, Z. And I'm just coming alongside of you. Yo, just keep it real with me. Tell me, are you quitting or are you rolling? All you do is nag me. I can't lean. No, she's prophesying into your life. She's keeping you fixed on the word that God gave you. Thank the Lord for that woman of God, even when she gets on your nerves. Praise God. Listen, It's got to start in the house. We can't change Middletown. We can't change Orange County. We can't change the legislation that's going on in this community. We can't change anything if the fathers are absentee from the house. We can't change anything if the fathers are not taking their rightful position in the home and becoming priests of the house. If the fathers are not saying, yes, I failed, I made some mistakes. Praise God, but now I'm on the right path, and for the rest of my life, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, men of God, when you start getting real about your walk with God, everything changes. And your wife will be the first one, Hercules, 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 that's my man, that's my man. You'll see it. She'll glow. She'll be radiating. She'll rock your world. You'll be the happiest dude. You'll be coming in whistling. Praise God. You know why? Because the woman sees a man of God in the house. When a man of God walks in the house, everything changes. Even the demons got to run and flee. Listen, what happens when your wife has a horrible dream or a nightmare, some spiritual attack? And she wakes up, honey, honey, you better start praying in the spirit. Hold her hand and start praying her way out. Praise God. Don't pick up the phone and call nobody else. You pray. Put a hand on her head. Hallelujah. Pray over your wife. And let me say this too. For those leaders, department head leaders that want to pray for everybody, how about this? Pray for your wife. We have no problem praying for people at church, but we get home and we don't want to pray for our wife. Pray. If you haven't heard by now, this class, Kingdom Family, Kingdom Living for the Family, is going to change the whole dynamic in this house. If you plug in, listen, if you don't want to come, stay home. If you're not ready for this, if it's too advanced, stay home. Seriously. Go eat Cheerios and play Xbox. It's all good. But if you are serious about your walk with God, you better come to this class or at least tune in. If you got to work, tune in. Catch it. You know why? Because your house is about to change. Everything you thought that was wrong is about to get fixed. God is going to change the dynamic in your family. Do you know that generational curses are about to be broken? Do you know that your ancestors might have been involved in the occult, and that's why there's divorce and rape and molestation and all kinds of stuff in your family, and you're wondering, why is this happening? Why? It's because you didn't recognize there was an open door. But once you recognize the door, now you can slam it shut, say, no, 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 not on my watch. It's over. It's a wrap. But you want to still be bound? You go ahead and be bound. Not my house. Hallelujah. There's so much demonic invasion, demonic infiltration. And people don't understand that a Christian, listen, I got to say this. We're giving examples week after week. You could be a Christian and still be under demonic attack. There are Christians, we talked about this in class, Christians that go to the pastor's office and start growling because they had a spirit of rage and violence and all this other stuff. Your body's composed of spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit, a demon, cannot occupy your spirit because that's God's house. But because of opening up portals, because of opening up doors, horror movies, the music, all the stuff that we engage, all these crazy little things, and then you wonder why spiritual demonic forces are still lingering around, because they have the right to come, because they say, Father, the Lord above, she gave me permission. I have legal access. And this is why some of us don't even recognize the need for deliverance. How can we identify those who are mature in the faith? Those who have won some battles. I can assure you, because we're talking about the hour of the prophet. If you've been here for any number of weeks, you've heard this. God is raising up 7 men in this house. The hour of the prophet. Why men? Because the women are already prophesying. Praise God. Women don't need to be raised up. For a long time, the women have been holding the fort down. But God is raising up an army of men. bona fide, discipled, spirit-filled brothers that know how to pray their way out of a paper bag. But I'm assuring you today, prophets of God, men of God, God is not going to impart his word and his command and his vision onto an immature infant. Because God can't work with or expect his will to be carried out by babies. Babies don't know how to hear the voice of God, much less obey it. And especially carnal Christians are so out of touch with God, they can't even recognize the enemies all over them. Listen, if you have been serving the Lord for more than 10 years and you're still in the same boat, something is wrong. Something is deeply, disturbingly wrong. Hallelujah! I gotta give myself one on that one because I'm not going to get amens from anybody on that one. But I'm going to tell you the truth. God wants you to come up higher. It's time to level up. No more baby church. Those days are over. You know, Peppa Pig has a lesbian couple on Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig. Can you believe this? You ever seen Peppa Pig? They now got a lesbian couple on Peppa Pig. It's like every day there's something else. They're pushing it. They're jamming it down your throat. And Hulu, I think, has Demon Spawn or whatever it's called, Demon Child, a little cartoon baby that she's the Antichrist. And her parents made the love with the devil or something. This is on Hulu, Disney, all these demonic movies, all this crazy. They're after your kids. Why? Because there ain't a man in the house or a woman in the house that is standing up for righteousness and just, oh, it's cutesy. Let the kids just, let them just watch it. It's okay. Listen, you send your kids to Caesar and they come back as Romans, then you wonder what's happening. We're heading in a new direction, church. And the only way we're going to get there is by getting our house in order first. The Word of God says judgment starts in the house of God. That means it's going to come to your doorstep first. And God is demanding us to come up higher to much is given, much is required. A new season of revelation, a new operation, a new sense of God's glory in our house, in our church, in our community. Do you know, I've prayed, and can you imagine if we're just having church and the firemen come up to the building? I'm literally praying that there'll be a pillar of fire all the way up to the heaven in this building. And that the firemen have to come. Oh, we need 5 trucks. This is a big flame. We can't put this. I need help. And all the firemen come here and they see a flame going right into heaven. And it's not consuming anything. That's my prayer. I believe it could happen. Praise God. But people are going to see signs and wonders and miraculous things that they're not going to be able to refute. It's happening. I believe it's going to happen in the next 3 months. Crazy stuff. I said it before. We may see people's arms that had no arm, an arm grow out. We watch it grow right in front of our face. God is going to do things that's going to astound us, that is going to be miraculous, that even the doctors go, huh? God can do it. If he said it, he'll do it. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But the people of God, it's time to grow up. You know why? Because signs and wonders follow mature disciples of the Lord. And that means when something like that happens, you can say, there he goes again. My God, just doing his thing. There he goes again. You're going to be so used to signs and wonders following, you ain't going to have to look. People are going to be astounded. They're going to say, something is happening in that little building over there. And you want to know something? You won't need advertising. You won't need word of mouth. The Spirit of God, the word would travel. Shh. A arm grew. A body part grew. They'll bring their sick. They're afflicted. There'll be lines out there, wheelchairs. Everybody coming in to get delivered, set free. That's the power. That's revival. That's the move of God's Spirit. But we ain't going to see it if we can't even get mature in our own house. God's plan for every believer is simple. Birth, growth, maturity. It's very simple. In the physical, we expect the same thing. You're born, you grow, you mature. Physical growth is automatic. All you have to do is provide the elements for growth. shelter, food, water, clothing, warmth, right? You provide all the basic elements and a child grows naturally. But in the spirit, that's not the way that we grow. Even Jesus grew as a child. He became a young person and taught in the synagogues, and then he became an adult. Then he went and ministered, and then he died and resurrected. It's natural in the physical realm, but the spirit realm is very different. There is so much spiritual neglect. People are satisfied with being babies perpetually. You have to be intentional. You must want to mature. You must be resolute, decided, absolutely no compromise. When we neglect the spiritual growth and maturity, we are going to remain spiritually unhealthy. And in many cases, infantile for many, many years. Stunted growth, unaware, starving, hungry, thirsty. The same as the catastrophe that took place in Corinth. They remained infants, very carnal in their thinking and their behaviors. We cannot allow that to happen on our watch. Let's look really quick at the life of Peter in Scripture. Praise God. Peter, maturity came through many things that he experienced. It was he that the Spirit of God told him at the fire with Jesus. He said, you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Most High, right? And Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed that truth to you. And later on in the evening, Jesus says, hey, I've got to go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to be put to death. And the same Peter comes now and says, listen, if that's true, we can't allow this to happen. And Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me. I wish I could talk to some of people like that. Satan, get thee behind me. Because sometimes we need to hear that. Satan, don't you know who you are in Christ? Don't you know the authority that you have? You're an overcomer, more than a conqueror. You're supposed to trample on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You've already won. Amen. Peter, he saw the shepherd be stricken. And three times he denied the Lord. And he had been a failure at that moment. The Bible says he wept bitterly. He was ashamed, embarrassed, and even frightened. He went out and wept probably 2 or 3 days. And Jesus had to come and restore him and revive him and strengthen him. And he learned from those lessons and he matured. Later on, he went and helped the brethren to grow up. And through his own lessons and growth, they were able to grow together in the things of God. So if you think about it, our morning scripture, and we look at Peter, the book of Peter. The very first thing we talked about or we heard in Scripture was about the sufferings of Christ. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Glory to God. Peter learned through the sufferings of Christ. Glory to God. Number two, Peter learned from Christ bearing our sin. 2:21 through 25, it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. How many are following the steps of Christ? He who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, because God is not a man that he should lie. Praise God. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. We have a righteous judge in glory. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Glory to God. Christ bore our sin on the tree, and he rose from the grave. And because of his victory, we now have the victory. And Christ is the just for the unjust. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sin, for the just and the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the spirit. You see, Peter learned how to mature and grow when he understood the sufferings of Christ. Growth and maturity comes in a greater appreciation through the sufferings of Christ. He suffered for us in the flesh. We know Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what? And by his stripes we are healed. Paul had the same attitude, the same heart, the same mind as Peter. And he began to understand through the sufferings of Christ that he had to mature. Listen, Paul was a killer, a murderer of Christians. He was a persecutor of Christians. And on the road to Damascus, he had his encounter with God. And therefore, he was blinded for a few days. Ananias came, touched him, and healed him. And at the next thing, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. You know what changed everything? His encounter with God. How many of us have had a genuine encounter with God? That's the game changer. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That means even while you remain in the flesh, you can still live for God. You do not have to be carnal. You do not have to engage in carnal practices and idolatry and all that. You could still be a child of God, even in this body. Romans 6:8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And then he begins to say, arm yourself with the same mind of Christ. Christ has won the victory. Identifying with him gives us daily victory. And in view of his suffering, we should forsake sin. God's will should be our primary goal and focus. Glory to God. Paul goes on and he reminds us that our past was simply not good. We read it. Lusting and drinking, abominable idolatries, revelries, drinking parties, and on and on. This was our past. Brother Manny read it earlier in the book of Colossians. That was you. That was the way you used to be, but you are no longer part of that. You are no longer in the flesh. You are made new. So put off the old and put on the new. Ephesians 2:3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You see, Christ has exchanged our life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Here's the question. Has God really changed your life? You have to ask yourself, even the Word of God says, examine thyself and test yourself. See if you are in the faith unless you are disqualified. Some people can't understand that when they come to Christ, this change, the Holy Spirit comes in and changes everything. And then people outside, they begin to speak evil about you because now they think, oh, she thinks she's better than neighbor. She thinks he thinks this. And the people are going to talk. Let them talk. Praise God. The world sees our light and it prefers the darkness. And this is why your light offends many. Do not frown, do not fret, because even the Word of God says, one day each one of us is going to have to give account of himself to the Lord God in heaven above. Believers must always take this long, hard look. Remember verse 7, it says, but the end of things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. Let me ask you a question. What possibly are you going to say to God when you stand before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory, who knows the intent of your heart, who could see right through you like you was a clear glass? What are you possibly going to tell God? Well, they didn't tell me. The pastor was too rough. He spoke too much. He got under my nerves. He got under my skin. What are you going to tell? What possible thing are you going to say to God when you're standing before him on judgment day? We've got to understand this is real. This is life. This is death. And there's a spiritual battle. There's a battle for your soul. There's a battle for your family. There's a battle for your children. This battle is daily. It will never stop. You have to fight the good fight of faith. Our battle, our fight is not with the brethren. It's not with flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness, rulers in high places. How do mature Christians identify with one another? How can you tell when you're dealing with a bona fide saint of the Most High God? Well, here might be a very good, quick example. First, you look at the tree. Jesus said, a tree is known by its fruit. We covered this in our class. The tree is known by its fruit. Sometimes we look at the leaves and we see some imperfections, but the reality is it's only surface stuff. And a lot of times, even in deliverance, we only deal with the surface, but we never go down into the root. And sometimes we got to go deep, deep, deep underground where the demons are hiding, underground to the roots, and lay the battle axe at the base of the tree and chop the whole thing down and get rid of it. No longer in my house, we're chopping this tree down. How else can we recognize a bona fide saint of the Most High? We read it, verses 8 through 11. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do so as with the ability that God gives or supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, Christians, first and foremost, should be identified by our love for one another. This verse says, have fervent love, not just love, have fervent love. What does fervent mean? It means have intense love, have pure love, have legitimate love. It is impossible. Listen, turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss this one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't fall asleep on me today. Praise God, because I'm going to start calling it out. Hallelujah. Listen, it is impossible to be a Christian and not have love. There's no such thing as a loveless Christian. Love is selfless giving. It's compassionate. It's an action. Talk, for the most part, is cheap. People could say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and they're not even thinking of you. People will say, I'll pray for you, girl. I'll pray for you, bro. Prayer emojis, the whole nine. You get it in Facebook all the time. People say, I got a headache. Oh, I'll pray for you. And they keep scrolling. You haven't even said a prayer. But that's the fake love. Why not just pick up the phone? Don't even reply. Don't let nobody see your, I'm going to pray for you. Just pick up the phone and call them. I hear you're going through something. Let me pray with you right now. Right over the phone. Nobody's got to know. And right after you're done praying, give God glory. Don't say, I just prayed for this person. I know they've been delivered. Ooh, the Lord is so good. It's funny because in social media, there's people all the time trying to promote their goodness. They'll show themselves with a $100 bill paying for some old lady's groceries. They look at this. And she's crying and say, I just felt like I wanted to be nice today. And people are putting hearts and love and clapping hands and all that. You know, the Bible says, yes, you receive your reward in full. The pat on the back. That's your reward in full. But that which is done in secret, God will reward you publicly and openly. Better to be in secret. Don't let nobody know what you're doing. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. A lot of people talk about love, but you can't say that you love God and you're a servant of God, but you have no love for people, for sinners, or for anyone else outside. That means it's hypocrisy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, without love, we are nothing. What matters if we could prophesy, preach, and teach, and raise the dead, and heal the sick, but we have not love? The Bible says we are nothing. What kind of love does fervent love produce? It covers multitude of sin. It makes hospitality possible. It enables us to give of ourselves without grumbling and grudging. And here's, I gotta say this, because oftentimes this is a real sign of infantile believers complaining about every single thing under the sun. Stop complaining. Please turn to your neighbor and say, he's definitely talking about you. If that's you, I hope he ain't talking about you. How about that? Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling. When you complain, you are literally removing God's hand of favor off of your situation. God is saying, I'm just going to stand by here until they're done with their griping and grumbling and complaints. The children of Israel missed the promised land. They wandered for 40 years in the desert. We've talked about this earlier, Psalm 22:3. But you are holy. You are enthroned in the praises of Israel, on the praises of your people. God shows up where you are praising him, where his presence is. When you complain, you remove it. What does it mean to minister your gifts to one another? It means to edify one another with your God-given gifts. God gave you gifts, abilities, talents, ministerial anointing. He gave you prophetic utterance. He's given you insight, rhema. He's given you gifts that not many others have. And that gift is not to be used for the world. It's to be used for his kingdom, for his people. Whatever it is that you do, it belongs to the Lord. Your gift is not your gift. Your gift has been given to you by God. Hallelujah. Is to minister to his people, not your people, not your fan base, not your applause people. Your ministry and your life should bear the fruit of the Spirit. Here's one immediate way that you can tell if you're dealing with someone who's in the faith for real. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Why is this important? Because the Bible says this is credible, it's visible, it's evident. That means it can be seen. And a few verses earlier talks about the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are also visible, also clearly seen. Why do you think you have two different types of people in the same chapter? Why? So we could identify who we're dealing with. Because not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that shines is precious and pure. In conclusion, love. Love is the mark of a true believer, a true disciple. The Bible says, all people will know that you are my disciples in the manner in which you love one another. Love is the very evidence of growth, maturity, and genuine spirituality. God is love. His nature is love. Love forgives. Love is not envious. Love is not easily provoked. Love gives. Love gives freely. Love gives cheerfully. Love gives willingly. Love never stops, and love never holds grudges. Love is never better than anyone else. Love doesn't think highly of itself. Love is never cold or unapproachable. Love keeps us grounded on the foundation of God's word and of his Spirit and not of the flesh. Love keeps you growing healthy in Christ. Love gives you a boarding pass into heaven. God's love will allow you to speak the oracles of God. What are the oracles of God? His living word and not yours. If you want to be an ambassador of heaven, a representative of heaven here on earth, or perhaps his prophet, then you will only speak what God has given you to speak. You won't add to it or take away from it. You will minister as God supplies, and that God may be glorified and not yourself. And you do this willingly with a humble heart, with a serving heart, because you love God and you love his people. When you understand his suffering, you're going to understand that God suffered because of love. He gave because of love. And when you start to think of that enemy, that person that gets on your nerves, that person that's getting under your skin, you got to think this one little thought. God loves him. God loves her. Yes, that repugnant person that just drives you to the bad place. Yes, God died for them. And when you start to think like that, you'll understand, well, if God loves him, imagine how repugnant I must be to others. And if it were not for the grace of God, for the mercy of God, I too would just be as much guilty, as much repugnant as that person seems to be to me. I'm that to somebody else. Oh, God, have mercy on my life. Oh, God, have mercy on my soul. Oh, God, Lord, create a new heart in me. Renew a right spirit in me. Cleanse me, Lord God. Purify me from all unrighteousness. When you start to see the sufferings of Christ and what he went through for everyone, then you don't see yourself any highly, more highly than others. Now you stay low. You stay humble. You stay pure in heart, pure in spirit. And you appreciate the forgiveness of your sin. And then you're able to, through the Spirit of God, forgive others who have violated you, who have hurt you, who have rejected you, who have abused you. Because now you know it's not about them. It's about you being free. And you're freeing them till they have an ability to come to Christ. Listen. God knows how to fix problems. God knows how to deal with the abuser. God knows how to deal with those who have hurt you. And there's a special place in hell for the children of disobedience that do not repent, that do not ask God for forgiveness. Believe me, justice will be served. Leave it to God. Let him repay. Learn from the sufferings of Christ that he died for all, not for some. I end with this. 1 Corinthians 13. 11, yes, my second closing. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, and I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So that means children speak first, understand second, and think last. So if that's childish behavior, then what do? We reverse that, and that's what it means to be an adult. As an adult, mature people of God think first, understand second, and speak last. James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. How many know that listening is ministry? And when you're listening, your mouth can't be moving. Praise God. Listen, James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Proverbs 1:33, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. That's a bullet in some of your spiritual guns. You need that one, especially if you struggle in the midnight hour. Proverbs 8:6, listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. Proverbs 19:20, listen to the counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Listening is basic to learning. Listening is maturity. You cannot hear God's voice if you're the one doing all the talking. The time of the prophet, the hour of the prophet is at hand. And God is ready to release a prophetic mantle on people in this building. But the time before that happens, we need to grow and mature in the things of God. God is calling us to mature. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. It is time to lay aside all your differences, grow up in the faith, get ready for greater. Hallelujah. And I end 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be both the glory now and forever. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you, saints of the Most High God.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.